Passione, Tradizione, Vittoria. Passion, Tradition, Victory. The 13th round of the 2012 Formula One calendar returns to the historic Autodromo di Monza for the Grand Prix of Italy. Britain may have given birth to F1, but Italy holds its heart, which pumps the blood, and that blood is scarlet, Ferrari scarlet. Here at the Royal Park and hunting grounds of old, our Formula One pilotos hunt for a leg up in the Drivers' Championship, striving to make a name at the legendary Monza. Like Spa, a race every driver wants to win. For the driver who takes the victory will be surrounded by a sea of scarlet, suspended above the fans on a one-of-a-kind podium stage. This is the fastest circuit of the year, and what may look simple to the eye, in reality, the drivers and teams must set up their cars to handle the high-speed straights, 2 11 corners, and ultra-harsh curbs that will make you say, Mamma Mia! The average speed here is 155 miles per hour, peaking up to 220. This makes Monza a benchmark, for a car must make it here to make it for the year. Vettel's first victory was here, becoming the youngest driver ever to win, and he desperately needs a win again. But the chrome-clad boys at McLaren and the proud patron saint of the Tifosi, Santo Fernando, will not make it a day in the park for Sebastian. Who will have the taste of blood in their mouth, and who will be seeing red? Stay tuned, ascoltatori. This is Signorina Desiree, and this is your F1 Weekly Italia Grand Prix Racecast. Ciao.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 600, September 15th, 2012. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. Greetings and welcome to broadcast from Karachi, the original home base. Hot and humid here in my hometown.
Welcome to the studio, Nass. On today's program, F1 Weekly's 600th podcast. How long should we keep going? Montezemolo still not convinced by Perez's performance. And did Renault drop the ball on the alternator issue? And, of course, Robert Kubica wins his local rally in Italy, which was absolutely outstanding. And we've got Motorsports Mondial with the king of Karachi reporting from Karachi, Nasser Hamid. Nass, how is everything in your beautiful hometown?
Well, I'm having a great time catching up with a lot of friends and familia. One of my old friends from my neighborhood just was here. It's 11 p.m. here in Karachi. Everything is fine, but let me just tell you something, man. The humidity is killing me.
But it's good for you. This means you'll lose weight.
Well, I certainly hope so, but I'm having a lot of naan and curry and chicken, so I may have instant regaining of that lost weight. But that's another story.
Exactly. So I know you went to Monza, you went to the Italian Grand Prix, we had GP3 accreditation for you, you had a meeting with the doctor over that weekend. Talk about your trip, and then later on we'll discuss the Italian Grand Prix.
Well, you know, so far the trip has gone extremely well, despite having several stops along the way. First stop was a small town in Cholley, Old England called Crick. And there on Friday morning, I was greeted by the smiling face of F1 Weekly's in-house doctor, Dr. Mark Farrington. and we proceeded to karting track at Wilton Mill, which is not too far from Milton Keynes, where Mr. Brazier and I normally hang out. But this time, we both of us did miss Mr. Gay. He had some private engagement on the Jersey Shore. These things happen, and hopefully we'll catch up with Mr. Brazier next. But my sincere thanks to Dr. Farrington for fine performance by his, what he calls, support vehicle number two, which can be seen on the home forum pages on F1 Weekly. Did you like his vehicle, sir? A mighty fine German product.
I'm glad you liked it.
How about you? Did you like his Beamer?
I'm not a Beamer fan. You know what they say in France about drivers who drive Beamers? I can't tell you because this is a family program.
Oh, dear. I think I have an idea. Especially it's a common word used by Mr. Brazier when he posts something about a BMW.
Exactly.
Yes. So, you know, Dr. Mark and I, we had a good time at Wilton Mill Karting Track. We hooked up with Inam. He's a homie. We have done a digital interview, actually a digital and a Skype interview in the recent past. He's 12 years old, racing in karting, and of course won a UK championship this year and came second in FKS, which is Formula Star Karts. And this is endorsed by names like Bernard Ecclestone and Lewis Hamilton. I'm sure you know who these people are. And his dad is Shami Ahmed, and he was very interested in ideas and suggestions for his son's racing career. So this kid will move into KF3 class, which leads to KF2 and the final step of karting, which is KF1. So this is a very good contact for F1 Weekly, and hopefully we can follow this young man's career as he moves up. And a very nice kid also. And you know what was also interesting, we were able to catch up with our recent past, Mr. Kazim Azur, who some years ago raced in Formula. You remember him, right?
Of course. He was one of our supporters from the beginning.
Exactly, him and his papa. So he raced in Formula BMW with our friends at Josef Kaufman Racing, and Kazim is now studying movies and filmmaking, and as part of his course, he's doing a documentary on motor racing, and Moa was interviewed by him for his project at Wilton Mill. So that was interesting. And I will try to get a copy of this interview, and maybe we can post this on our website with the proper express written consent. And so the karting was very interesting, and you know, Dr. Farrington also had a good time, took a lot of photographs. That was good. And after that, on the same day, Friday, the support vehicle number two proceeded to Silverstone as the F3 boys were in town, which would, of course, be the British F3. And they had a race last weekend. And we met our regular friends like Jack Harvey, Harry Tinkman, and Felix Gallis. This was preceded by lunch at a proper English pub with, and I'm borrowing a phrase from Dr. Mark here, some interesting characters. This was quite an interesting place, and it was very close to the Silverstone track. And these drivers I named, Harvey, Tinknell, Sirales, are very close to making a decision about next year, so soon we will have a plan to connect via Skype in October for a complete review of the season and a possible sneak preview into their plans for 2013. And some of these youths might even come to the U.S. and race here. So that should be very exciting. And I would like to thank Dr. Mark again for his time and company, and especially the drop-off at Heathrow. And this was interesting. You know, he drops me off there where the F1 Weekly World Tour Party continued in Terminal 4 with Mohammed Manzoor, Papito of Kazim, and also one of the original listeners of our podcast. And he's now based in Kuala Lumpur and invited me to Malaysia for the GP. And I'm sure you know how long it takes for me to graciously accept an invite to a Formula One Grand Prix motor race. So it was good chatting with him on his take on the season so far. And I'm very, very interested in making a run to, I've never been to South Asia, apart from Karachi, Pakistan, of course. So maybe I can go to Malaysia and check out, maybe enjoy a one night in Bangkok. You never know.
That sounds really exciting, Nasser.
You would definitely recommend and pay for that trip, right?
Of course. Of course. F1 yeah. Weekly, you know, we have deep pockets.
Oh, yeah. They just, yeah. So deep you can even see your fingers come out from the other end.
Exactly. But, you know, you'll see one day when we start charging for the podcast and people pay big bucks to listen to you. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I can hear the cha-ching already.
Yeah.
Well, that was the first day, and it was a very productive day, and it had a great time. The weather was good, and then it was time to hop on board Alitalia and go to Malpensa for Monza.
And did you feel the electricity? Was it exciting? Were the Tifosi up and about? I mean, talk about Monza. Talk about the track.
Obviously, it's my favorite track. My first ever Grand Prix was here in 1982. So it's, you know, it is emotional feeling for me. And of course, great history at the track. And to make life better for us, I normally take a ride with Mr. Peter Nygaard. This is the gentleman who runs Grand Prix Photo Company and supplies me photographs for my calendar. So went with him and his assistant, Mr. Michael from Aachen in Germany. Done these trips together. So it was great. You know, he took me to the media credentials. And also for the first time, I was able to meet Miss Alexa of the GP2, GP3 media department. So we had a little chat there. Very thankful to them for their cooperation. And what I did, I hooked up, since I had access to the GP3 and GP2 area, went and talked to a lot of drivers, got their email addresses, their Skype addresses. Because, you know, as we have mentioned, if we do an interview at the track, we cannot play that on the podcast.
Yeah, but we could always lie.
No, we are honorable and credible people, and we want to live and die that way. So we're going to do – plus, you know, we will be doing these interviews after the season is over, after these young guys and girls have recovered from their arduous season. So we'll get a lot of what you would call meat and potato and a side order of home fries also.
I understand.
It was great. But anyway, I was in the GP2 area, GP3 area, which was right opposite to the F1 paddock. And every now and then you'll hear a big roar. You look around, it's Nando walking in, it's Schumacher walking in. And they are besieged by people and they keep walking. So got to see a lot of people and no point in trying to talk to them because, you know, you're not going to talk to them anyway. So that was interesting. And we'll talk about the racing when you do the race cap.
Okay. Well, yeah, I thought the race was exciting. Qualifying was a big surprise for me, and I did tear up a little bit. And I think it was a bigger surprise for Monte Zemolo. Did you get to watch? I know because sometimes when you're attending the race, it's hard to actually get to watch the nuances on television about what's going on in qualifying and the Grand Prix itself.
I got to, you know, I was doing a lot of running around, as we always do, as you know, Clark. So I was, like, spending a little time at in front of the TV in the GP2, GP3 hospitality area. I was pretty hot there, let me tell you that. And then if I saw somebody walking around that I needed to make a contact, I'll go and track them down. So it was a mixed bag of this, that, and everything.
Yeah. Okay, well, very good. Well, let's just quickly talk about qualifying. We had a McLaren front row. McLaren looking very speedy, very fast. I think it looks like they've made the right steps in the right direction, and they're going to end this season on a high. And the big talk of the town during the weekend is whether Lewis Hamilton is going to stay with McLaren or go with Mercedes AMG Petronas F1 team. Now, it's all over the place that Eddie Jordan, working for the BBC, has said that Hamilton has already signed a contract with Mercedes and everything is a done deal. But what have you heard being in the paddock?
Well, you know, this is the rumor, hot rumor, and it's getting even hotter after since the end of the race. I did talk to a couple of people who are, I would say, serious Formula One insiders. But, you know, frankly, very few people know what has been done. So these people who are media people were telling me that's what they're hearing, but nobody can guarantee what has happened. And apparently McLaren is talking of a pay cut. Mercedes is basically offering him more than twice the money McLaren is paying him right now. So if you're looking for money, then, you know, it's a no-brainer which way he would go.
No, the biggest thing I was going to say is I'm sure Lewis Hamilton realized that you have to earn as much money as you possibly can while you're young and driving in F1. And apparently McLaren has somewhat, not only they want to cut his pay, but he doesn't have the kinds of activities that Schumacher has in terms of promoting him as a brand. So we know Lewis Hamilton is looking to make more money. And let's not forget, McLaren will become a customer team in 2014 buying engines from Mercedes, whereas Mercedes is going to be a works team. And certainly, if you're going to be successful in Formula One, being in on a works team is definitely going to give you a bit of an edge. And I'm sure that Mercedes has given him a lot of reassurances that they will become a championship winning team in a couple more years. Your thoughts, Nass?
Well, I think that Lewis Hamilton is looking to make a lot of money, and he knows he's very good. There's no question about it as far as the racing driver is concerned. You know, who is he going to replace? Is Michael Schumacher retiring, or is they're going to farm out Nico Rosberg to some other team? So I'm not sure. My take is that he should try to, if he wants to win races, he should stay where he is. And even though Jenson Button is no Heikki Kovalainen, he still can win a lot of races and championships based on his talent if they have a right car. And I think the McLaren package is now on an uptake. And if the, I was reading today, they have Jeff Willis, Ross Brawn, Aldo Costa, some other big name guy, Bob Bell at Mercedes, plus Michael Schumacher. If all these zany, brainy people cannot make that car very fast with all the dedication, passion, love, and success of Michael Schumacher, I find it hard to believe that they can tell Lewis Hamilton will have a fast car. Keep in mind, when the new turbo era kicks in, who knows, McLaren would be back with Honda or some other very committed program. So, I think if he wants to make a lot of money, yeah, Mercedes is a better option. If he wants to win championships like Nando, he needs to stay where he is.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Q3 and qualifying. Of course, the big disaster for Fernando Alonso when they had a sway bar break. Montezemolo, livid, and Fernando had said that pole position would be easy. The car failed him. Massa did do well getting P3. That was pretty impressive. I was very impressed with Paul Di Resta getting P4. Of course, he was put back because of a 5-grid place penalty due to a gearbox change. But still, how was the Tifosi reacting at the end of qualifying with Fernando being 10th and a front row by McLaren?
Well, before Q3, he was looking very strong, so there was a lot of excitement, a lot of red flags waving, a lot of giggling, and the Q3 was a big surprise. And so it was kind of a not-so-happy moment for the Tifosis. And the McLaren front row basically ties them on a record with Williams as the teams with the most front row lockout. So it was interesting, and Massa was really big surprise, and something had to happen to Nando for Massa to shine, but he did in qualifying, so that was good for him.
Good. Anyway, on race day, how did everything seem at Monza on that beautiful Sunday afternoon? Was the weather warm? Did it look as good to you as it did to me on television?
Yes, sir, it was very good. The weather was good. And I'll tell you, before the Formula One race, and I know it's a little sidetrack, but it has to be mentioned here. If anybody has not seen the last few laps of the race, the GP3 races are small anyway, 15, 20 minutes. Man, that was so, so exciting. It was just like the 2007 Brazilian Grand Prix. But going back to the Formula One race, it was a great race day. Fantastic start, and I'll let you talk about the early proceedings.
Yes, okay. Very exciting start. The lights go out. Fantastic start for Lewis Hamilton, who has not won at Monza in his career. Great start by Felipe Massa in front of the Tifosi. I thought that was very, very significant. Jenson Button had some wheel spin, but he was able to keep third. And, of course, Schumacher having an outstanding start as well. I was very impressed with the Saubers during the race, and Fernando, for the first 10 to 12 to 15 laps, really did an outstanding job and really pretty much demonstrating why he is El Machismo.
that he is Alvin Chismo and undisputed number uno at Scuderia Ferrari. But I tell you, I was at the start of the race. I was on the back straight where the cars are heading towards Parabolica. Initially, I was at a place where I could not see Parabolica turn. And to see these cars, especially Lewis Hamilton running ahead of Massa. And then initially, it was the same difference, but he started pulling off later on. That was, you know, to hear the sound and full blast, very, very interesting. I was, you know, I'm always born again when I'm in a moment like this.
Yeah, and give us a taste of how the crowd was reacting as Fernando Alonso was passing everybody, and then he was up there with Sebastian Vettel fighting for fourth and fifth place.
Well, it was pretty much like you're watching a race in Spain. Anytime he would make a move, there would be a big roar. It's pretty obvious he is loved by everyone there. And the best moment was when Jenson Button dropped out, and we'll talk about it later on.
Yeah, big problems there for McLaren, but still, I think it was a fuel pickup problem. I really enjoyed the race, especially that we had no big problems in the pit stops except for when Ferrari and Sebastian Vettel were side by side going down the pits. I thought that was a lot of fun, but what's really great about these professionals, never any problems. Of course, Kimi Raikkonen, once again, we are hoping for Lotus F1 to get that win that's so close yet so far. Jerome D'Ambrosio pretty much performed the way I thought he would, qualifying 15th. I mean, his big thing was to not crash the car, finish the race. Points would have been fantastic, but that's just not going to happen. He just doesn't get into a Formula One car often enough. But I thought Kimi Raikkonen did a good job in fighting at the end of this race for really major points that are so important now that we're in the halfway mark in the championship, past the halfway mark. This is where it's really important. And even Ferrari is now saying that Kimi Raikkonen can be a threat because he's climbed up the ladder of the championship so consistently and so quickly. But still, the Italian Grand Prix was very exciting. Once again, the big alternator issue comes up with Renault, which was shocking. I'm really disappointed in the engineering there because this should have been resolved right after Valencia. Stunning, stunning reaction from Fernando for me. And even though I know Sebastian Vettel did push him off the track, it was so similar to what last year Grand Prix showed us when Vettel was pushed by Fernando. I mean, what was going on at the track when this was happening? And did you hear anything about how pissed off Ferrari was at Sebastian Vettel?
Well, after the race, I did hear that. And interestingly, you know, there was, I've seen a graph on Autosport, you've probably seen it also, that when Fernando Alonso pushed him off the track, Vettel only had two wheels off track, but this time when he did the same to Nando. Nando had all four wheels off the track, and that's what got some heat on Sebastian Vettel. But going back to you were talking about excitement at the track. I was, you know, sporadically doing some recording of engine sound as the cars were going by, which I enjoy very much. And around that time on the back straight, I was standing pretty much where Jenson Button brought his car to a stop. And what happened, I had initially not seen the thing, but there was a huge roar from the crowd. So I knew something to their advantage had happened because it was like an exciting roar from the crowd. And then I saw his car coming. And actually, I even recorded saying that, you know, there was a lot of Italian birds. A lot of people were giving him your number one sign.
Yeah.
But Jensen was a good sport. He walked in front of us to the crowd. So that was very interesting. And then any time Nanda would make a move, no matter where you were on the track, you would know something has happened.
It's amazing how loved Fernando is now in Italy. I can understand why now he says that he will end his career in Italy, because really there's no way that he can improve on the kind of family and structure that Ferrari has built with Fernando. This is just going to get better and better. I think the biggest question is, what kind of teammates will he have in the future, and how we may be able to see some cage rattling, but really Ferrari has so much love for Fernando that they will protect him till the very end.
Well, you know, talking on this point of teammate for him, there are a lot of theories. Everybody has an opinion. One of the things that may hold back Sergio Perez from, especially after the performance at Monza, where that he may not get to Ferrari because Nando may have some say, and if he's smart enough, he should have had this in his contract. He will decide, or at least have a say in who the teammate will be. There is no point in having a repeat of history. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I understand what you're saying, but let's talk about Perez real briefly. Unbelievable, but really, what really made Perez's performance so fantastic was great strategy from Sauber. Sauber is really putting it all together, not only speed-wise, but intellectually. And since they started in P12, they had tire choices, and starting the race on the hard compound and going so deep into the race before changing the tires was great strategy, because obviously at the end of the race, when Sergio Perez was charging past these drivers, the excitement you could cut with a knife. I mean, how was it in Monza watching that?
Well, that was very impressive. And, you know, somehow this kid finds a way to bring a car in a pretty good position. And he's been doing this against a guy who was Mr. Excitement and very good driver, or so we thought, and that's Kamui Kobayashi. I mentioned this fact to a F1 insider, you know, like somebody who's in the F1 motor racing business on a daily basis. And he says to me, well, what you're saying is correct, but Perez is not really Nando or Hamilton. And I said, you know, you don't have to be Nando or anybody, but as long as you bring the car in the top three, top five like he's doing, it's a tremendous job. So I think that all of this good work may go against him landing a drive at Ferrari, even though he's in the driver development program. Now that we are hearing that Heikki Kovalainen is a leading candidate, well, Heikki has been measured by Lewis Hamilton, so we know that he's not going to be a threat to Fernando Alonso.
No, that's very, very true. But still, I think Perez is still young enough where they might bring him in. We'll have to see at the end of the season, because let's not forget, Felipe Massa isn't out until he's fired. And so far, he's picked his game up, and with his manager, certainly Nikola Tott can talk a good game to keep Felipe Massa at Ferrari for one more season. So we'll see what happens there. But anyway,
Let me share on Felipe Massa. Like somebody said to me, Massa is the best choice for them because they know what they have. If they bring in one of these young guns, like young hungry dogs, like Nico Hülkenberg or Paul Di Resta, one of these kids, yeah, you know, they may not behave. May not behave like Lewis Hamilton in 2007. So there may be some cage rattling involved. So maybe Massa is the, hard to believe, but maybe the best choice under the circumstances.
I think that's a very, very, very good point. Anyway, let's talk about how the race ended. Of course, both Red Bulls. Mark Webber was out. Sebastian Vettel had to pull off the track. Another DNF that really kills his Formula One World Championship chances. And I'm really disappointed with Renault on this alternator thing. And today we hear that the Pirelli test car, which is an old Renault, had alternators issues today. So, I mean, did you hear anything in the paddock about how Renault is handling this and how pissed off Christian Horner is?
No, I'm not party to any of that conversation. And I had to leave, you know, on Sunday. So I did not get any meat and potatoes for you on that one. But going back to the championship thing, you know, now obviously Hamilton is second. And I had a nice chat with Will Buxton, and I asked him, who do you think will be world champion? And he says, Kimi Raikkonen. I says, wow. He said, you know, Kimi doesn't do anything, but he's just going to keep driving like a machine, and he will wear out everybody and become world champion. Let me tell you, he has not won a race yet, but one lucky break, a DNF by Nando, and another podium with him can put him in a challenging position for the championship.
I know. He's only 1 point away. I think he's like third or fourth in the championship, tied. Well, they're not tied. It's 38, 37, or 38 points among Hamilton, Kimi Raikkonen.
I think he's only 1 point behind Hamilton.
Yeah, that's it. He's only 1 point behind Hamilton. No, he is the dark horse, but it would be really hard to believe because Ferrari has shown some unbelievable reliability, except for when Fernando had the DNF in Belgium. So my money is still on Fernando.
Well, my theory, this was just my personal take, that if Fernando could come out of after the post-European season with a lead of 30 points or more, it's his championship, and that I believe he has done. I mean, the only thing that will save Nando Hamilton's day is that if both McLarens have the pace they had at Monza in all the remaining races, and Jenson Button will play second fiddle to Hamilton, and I just don't see that happening. Maybe one race. But it's very exciting. Hamilton is a street fighter. I do expect him to win in Singapore. And then, you know, we'll see what happens. And Fernando, all he needs now is reliability. He is cagey and smart enough to know when to push, when not to push. You're not going to see him do a Grosjean at Spa or Maldonado in every race. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was really surprised on how invisible Pastor Maldonado was in this race. Really, he's really begun, without his antics, he's begun to blend in.
Well, that was the best he could do, not get on the radar.
Yeah, no, I thought that was interesting. But a fantastic podium, a great win for McLaren, having Button DNF. But Hamilton really led from start to finish, except for a few laps that was led by Perez during pit stops. But a great race by Lewis Hamilton, who showed, not sure if it's Mercedes or McLaren, that he is the man. Of course, a fantastic finish for Sergio Perez and Sauber, getting a lot of points, important points towards the Constructors' Championship, and their fight is against Force India. And once again, Fernando Alonso with a podium, just simply outstanding. You just can't make this stuff up. I was really impressed with Fernando charging all the way up to third place. It was very impressive. And some final thoughts on Monza before we go to break, Ness.
Well, as always, a great race. And if somebody's ever going to Monza, obviously, if you want to watch a race from the grandstand, good. But if you want to just pay for what you call a general admission and go to the area where the back straight is, you get a very nice view. Surprisingly, there was quite a bit of crowd, but there was still enough room where you could be in the front, first or the second row of people standing, and you get a very nice view of the back straight, and the sound is beautiful. And you can pretty much walk all the back straight all the way up to cars going into Parabolica, and that was one of my lifetime goals, to see cars racing into Parabolica, and a couple of big screen TVs where you can have the best of both worlds. So that would be my tip of the day for Autodromo Monza.
Thank you, Nass. Okay, why don't we hear from Lewis Hamilton and a few of the other drivers from this fantastic race. Lewis, welcome to F1Weekly.com. Congratulations, of course, from the staff. And your thoughts on the Grand Prix?
Yeah, this is one of the races I haven't won, so very, very happy. And the team did an incredible job. So glad the pit stops are so strong and they got a good start, and just car's been fantastic all weekend, so very, very strong performance by the team. Very unfortunate for Jensen, because we could have had a 1-2, but he was doing a great job. But hopefully we can go to Singapore and do the same.
And some great points for you as well in the championship, especially with the non-scoring from both Red Bulls.
Yeah. I mean, this championship's just showing that it's so unpredictable. And, I'm so grateful that we're in the fight, and we've got a good car, and we can compete. It's not necessarily the fastest, but it's with as fast. So that's a great feeling.
That second place finish for Sergio Perez is the reason for all this fuss around him. Sergio, you just ran into your team home there. Hugs, claps, cheers. How does it feel?
Incredible. It's great to have such a great atmosphere with the team. After the pace we had all weekend, we really never expect to have a podium this weekend. I think if before the race they come and tell me that I was going to finish P8, P9, I would definitely sign it. Because the pace that we had, we were missing half a second on the straight. So with that, it's impossible to fight for what we did today. But then suddenly we went for another strategy. We risked everything, and it worked really well for us.
fantastic overtaking you were doing out there, especially on the Ferraris. The second one in particular really got our attention in the commentary box when you came oh so close to the back of Felipe. But just talk us through those passes.
It was very important to get them soon. But the most important, I think I was a lot quicker than them, but with Raikkonen, it was very important and crucial to get him soon, to lose too much time and degrade the tires quite a lot.
Starting 12th and fighting so dramatically and triumphantly in that particular race, was that your best race in Formula 1?
I don't know if my best, I think probably my best. I will pick up as Malaysia in such a difficult conditions. Obviously I run wide, 5 laps to go, but I don't know if it's one, but definitely it's one of my best races ever.
And when you overtook those two Ferraris, were you only grabbing second place in the race, or were you also grabbing the chance of really moving into that Ferrari seat next season?
No, I think it's, as I always say, no, it's still 8-9 races to go, so I have to maintain very focused and try to give my best every time.
Fernando, why don't you tell F1Weekly.com your thoughts on the move from Sebastian Vettel pushing you off the track?
Well, I think it was dangerous for the nature of the circuit. It's 330 kilometers an hour what we reach in that part, and we were jumping on the gravel, so obviously not nice. But incidents that always the stewards and the race director study and make decisions, and today they made one that obviously, and at the end, didn't change anything because Sebastian was forced to retire with a problem, so didn't change anything.
Thank you, gentlemen. Nas, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back with Motorsports Mondial. So we'll be back after this brief message.
Honesty is something we all look for, especially when it comes to auto service. Honest Engines Auto Service Tallahassee is where you'll find it. Since 2005, they've been delivering trusted, dependable service to Florida's capital. Honest Engines is your full-service auto repair center. Bumper to bumper, they have you covered. Honest Engines Auto Repair offers a variety of services. Transmission repair, oil change service, and much, much more. Don't let just anyone work on your car. Bring it to Honest Engines. They'll give your baby the care it deserves. They work closely with you to make sure you know what's being done. With Honest Engines, you don't have to guess what their team is doing. Their highly experienced and certified technicians know just what your car needs, and they'll make sure you do too. So if you're in the Tallahassee area and you need auto repairs, give Honest Engines a call, 850-421-8461, and tell them F1Weekly.com sent you. Honest Engines Auto Repair, right on the corner, right on the price, 718 Gay Street, Tallahassee.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. This is our first ever Motorsports Mondial from Karachi. And we shall start with Hapidos, GP2. Luca Filippi, what performance. He won the feature race for Colony team after almost no racing since winning the same race last year. In doing so, he made Stefano Coletti look bad as he left the team a few weeks ago, not happy with the performance of the team. Luca Filippi and I had a nice chat, and he was asking me if I knew some teams that might, he can call in America or some other place. So poor kid is tremendous racing talent. And now looking for some, you know, new challenges. Star of the season after 3 years in GP2, John Ciccato was second, with Marcus Ericsson third. Polesteader Max Chilton was fourth. This was a very good race to attend, and I was able to line up several interviews next month through the wonders of Skype. The likes of championship leader Davide Valsecchi, his challenger Luis Razia. He told me he had recently trained with Miami Dolphins, but to his utmost regret, did not get a chance to have a Big Mac with Monty. And a very nice kid, Luis Razia, had a nice chat with him before and after the race. Sprint race, Davide Valsecchi took a big step towards winning the championship in Singapore, and that's where the final race of the GP2 season will be, by winning the sprint race on Sunday. So both races at Monza were won by local drivers, which is good for them. Fabio Weimer was second and Julian Palmer third. And I did get a chance to talk to Julian Palmer's papito, Dr. Jonathan Palmer, nice friendly chap. In the championship, Valsecchi leads with 229 points over Razzia on 204 points. James Collado is the top rookie, third place with 160 points. Esteban Gutierrez is fourth on 152 points. Now we move on to GP3. What a great finale to the season. Kiwi Mitch Evans had it all upon arrival in Monza, had a huge lead before the Monza races, then threw it all first in race one and then in the second race, only to be saved by a great tragedy for a young German. Daniel Abt won the opening race on Saturday over Cypriot driver Keo Elinas. The German had to win again on Sunday to become the GP3 champion, and he almost did. In a race that reminded many of the 2007 Brazilian Grand Prix, Daniel was doing the business in the 16-lap race. But with three laps to go, Elinas passed him, but Abt got the lead back next time around. But tragedy struck soon after, as Elinas reached the lead with less than two laps to go and held on to the lead. Mitch Evans became GP3 champion and could not believe his luck. Despite starting from pole, he had fallen back at the start and then had to make a pit stop for a flat tire. In the post-race interview, he said his phone was going berserk and people back home were celebrating like he had just won the Formula One championship. These are his exact words. Even I got to ask, this was really interesting, even I got to ask a couple of questions in the press conference, which was press conference with the new champion of GP3, which is another first for F1 Weekly. And before I order my Coleman on eBay, I hope we can ask questions in F1 press conferences also. That will be the day. So the result in the race was Teo Elinas' winner over Daniel Abt. Third was Giovanni Venturini, and fourth was Filipino racer Marlon Stockinger. Abt was the winner on Saturday over Elinas. Matthias Lane was third, and American Connor Daly was third. In the championship, final championship points, Mitch Evans, 151.5 points. Second, Daniel Abt, 149.5 points, and the top rookie, something that was expected. Third in the championship was Portuguese Antonio Felix da Costa with 132 points. He is currently the golden boy of Dr. Marco at the moment. They put him in this series after blowing out this young Scottish talent, Lewis Williamson. And have you had a chance to watch any of the GP3 final race of this season, Senor?
Yes, I did. I watched highlights on YouTube, and it was outstanding. Lots of excitement, and I remember when I was at Monza in 2010, I watched both GP2 and GP3 races because they were very, very exciting races.
Yes, sir. Now GP3 is coming out of the new car with a 400-horsepower engine, normally aspirated, so it should be a good sound. Okay, from GP3, we go to Formula 3 at Silverstone, Men in Action at Silverstone. Our friend Harry Tinknell was on the podium in race one. In third place, Carlos Sainz Jr. was second, and the winner was Malaysian Jasmine Jaffer. Our amigo from Puerto Rico, Felix Ferrales, was the winner in race two. Jaffer was second, and Brazilian Pietro Fantin was third. Third and final race of the weekend was won by Alex Lynn, his first for the series. Jaffer was second, and Tinknell third. Our best friend Hannes van Asseldong was fourth, and Sainz Jr. completed the top five. Jaffer leads the championship with 282 points. Ferrari is second with 276, and Jack Harvey is third with 259 points. Felix Ferrari is in his second year of racing in Europe and doing an outstanding job in his rookie F3 season. Formula 2 at Hungaroring, Swiss Alex Fontana was the winner in race 1 over Kevin Miroka of Polonia. In race 2, the winner was Marcus Palmer from Germany over another Swiss cheese, Matteo Tuscher, who's a very young driver and a pretty good talent. Championship situation, Luciano Bacchetta from UK via Sicilia leads with 208.5 points. Tuscher is second with 175 and Palmer third on 165 points. And just we mentioned Dr. Jonathan Palmer. It's his company, Motor Vision, that organizes this Formula 2 championship after winning the contract from FIA. IndyCar news, Mike Conway, ex-British F2 champion and GP2 racer, has said no Mas to ovals and has withdrawn from season finale at Fontana in Southern California. Conway was involved in a serious crash in Indy a few years ago for the team, and I'm sure racing fans can understand and appreciate his decision. But he does plan to continue in IndyCar racing on road courses only. And Clark, finally, no matter where you are, Cali, Karachi, or Kigali, you're always under the shadow of your smile and NASCAR Nation. The race in Richmond, Virginia was won by Clint Bowyer. Kevin Harvick won the nationwide race, the Happy Dos of NASCAR. So that's the Motorsports Mondial. May I have your permission to update you on my Karachi karting project?
Absolutely, Nas. Take it away.
Well, you know, a couple of days ago, I went to this place called Dreamland, and it's a very big, sort of a resort place, and they have golf course, this and that, but the only thing I'm interested in is the go-kart track. It's a pretty nice go-kart track, nice turns, this and that, and they have these, what they call amusement go-karts, which are not meant for racing, but they were kind enough to ask me to go and drive one lap, so I walked the track, I drove the track, and then since then, you know, I've been talking to some people, and I now have a location, and now I have a crew, and I just need to find some go-karts, and then we roll out our program of testing and evaluation, and hopefully sometime March or April of next year, do a some sort of a homie championship for young kids, you know, 10 to 14 years old. So this thing has really moved forward quite a bit in the last few days I've been here, and I'm very thankful to all these people who have been cooperative and willing to meet me and give me their time of the day. So we should see an F1 Weekly sponsored Karachi Karting Championship in the next few months.
That's fantastic, Nas. Keep up the good work, and thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. I want to quickly wrap it up with 50 words on the Italian Grand Prix. And unfortunately, Nas, I don't know if you've gone to the forum and pulled it up, but I'm going to go ahead and start reading these, and then we will wrap up the show with a few last comments. Anyway, from Ye, it says, Alonso is just getting better and better. Neon Zapper writes, Lewis Hamilton's crew scratched their heads as they circled his unscathed car. While Ferrari engines placed P2, P3, and P4 before the Italian Tifosi, bravo, 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 bravo. This time, Vettel watched Alonso from her garage TV, while Felipe, better than never, Massa knew what to do. It was quite an exciting race. Lap Traffic says, Lewis is lucky the race ended when it did. Perez only needed about 5 more laps. Rathump writes, Hamilton ran a perfect race. Perez, an excellent second, and who says there's no passing in Formula One? Dr. Mark Farrington himself, ding-dong battles throughout the field while the reliability gremlins rolled their dice on the altar of the Temple of Speed. The haze is clearing, and soon the old enemies, Alonso, Hamilton, Ferrari, and McLaren, may be the only ones left standing. And Desiree says, the chrome chassis champ took the lead and never looked back. Jensen stopped from second, left room for Sergio to get onto the podium, and Fernando from 10th to 3rd still got adoration from the Tifosi, speaking Italiano and working the crowd like a PR machine. And Jason Jackson writes, drive of the day for Perez. Great tire management and amazing speed. Excellent home race for Ferrari engines, and well, then there's Red Bull, but no reason to rehash that. And Kivix writes, finally, a Ferrari 2-3. Oh, wait. That's the 2013 Ferrari lineup. There you have it, Nas. Everybody's excited in the forum. And, of course, Nas, while you're in Karachi, don't forget to go to F1Weekly.com and click on the Google ads. Nas, any final thoughts?
No, sir, just, braving the great humidity we have here, but otherwise enjoying the stay here very much and looking forward to doing this karting thing for my peeps. And hopefully, you know, I'll be back here in March or April where we can do a proper championship. So, you know, very happy and glad we could do, very proud that we could do a podcast from Karachi. This is another milestone, and ironically, it happens on the podcast number 600. So it's a great day for us.
Absolutely. Great day for us. Great day for the F1Weekly.com podcast number 600. We will see how long we continue, but you never know what could happen in the future. So there you have it, Nass. Thanks for joining F1 Weekly from beautiful downtown Karachi. I can't wait till you get home so we can get back to normal, Nass. Have a nice day.
Thank you, and thank you to all our listeners.
Good night.
Bye-bye.